Hallelujah. So today, as we get into this word, we're continuing part two from last week, right? We're continuing part two from last week. It says 1 + 1 equals more. I know it does not make sense from a mathematical equation, the way we learn, but this looks so. The scripture is Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30. And the King James Version says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." This is coming from Jesus. He said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." There's some instructions there. "For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall do what? Find rest unto your souls." And in verse 30 says, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I want to read that one more time from the Christian Standard Bible. It says, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened." Somebody's weary this morning. You don't want to say nothing. Your face is smiling and you got it plastered on and you doing that, or you ain't being seen. So, but you're weary and you're burdened with something. But he said, "Come to me, all you who are in that situation," what? "I will give you rest." Didn't say the world or your job or your bank account or your best friend. He said, Jesus said, "I will give you rest." Says, "Take my yoke and learn from me." He is only saying learn from me because he knew what he was about to do. He knew what he had been doing. He knew about being weary. He knew about being burned. He said, "But learn from me," because he was going to show us what? I'm getting ahead of myself. He was going to show us how to do it. Oh, say, "Because I am lowly and humble in heart, I love you that much." He said, "And you will what? Find rest for your souls." And then this promise, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." 1 + 1 = more, part two. Hallelujah. Just to go back, last week we talked about 3 points, and I'll just review the points. I can't review all the scripture. Say what? First, Jesus declares 1 + 1. That's what he said in verse 28, isn't it? That's what he said. He says what? "Come on to me." That's 1 + 1. When you come to Jesus, you're adding together with Jesus. That's the 1 + 1. He said it in verses 25 through 27. He says what? "I thank thee, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because what? Thou hast laid these things, hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, hast what? Revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father," he said what? "All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son, but what? The Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal it." So Christ is saying, "Because I am my Father's Son, my Father's given it to me, I am doing what? I'm going to reveal it to you so what? You can know the Father." That's 1 + 1, what? Equals more, right? 1 + 1. That's 1 + 1. You, me, and the Father, you and me. He's adding this mathematical equation. We said it's not like what we think, because we know what 1 + 1 is. It's a universal language. Go to China, Japan, Russia, and they say 1 + 1 = what? 2. But in the spiritual realm, we know what? Equals more. Second point was that the problem when 1 + 1 = 2, that was a human thing. That was a human thing. When 1 + 1 = 2, in verse 28, it says what? We're going to be burdened, labor, and heavy laden. We're going to be weary because sometimes it don't add up to us. 1 + 1 = 2. There was a time some of us weren't counted as one. Took a multitude of us to be counted as one. Somebody remember? It's still that way today for lots of different nationalities and lots of different people. Said, but 1 + 1 = 2. And we went through some scriptures there. And then the third point was the invitation promises. The invitation promises in verses 28 through 29, it says what? That 1 + 1 = more. It's right there. He said, all you that say, "I will give you rest." He said what? "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." So 1 + 1 = more. We talked about how being yoked to somebody and the yoke of the oxen, they put this wooden or leather contraption around the neck of the stronger one to teach and train what the younger one, and the stronger one led the younger one. And if you in Christ, what, who's stronger, he will lead you. So he didn't say go yoke yourself to your best friend or your husband or your wife or somebody else or the pastor or the deacon. He said what? Come to me. If we get yoked to Jesus, guess what? Everything we do is what Jesus do, because all of our hope is what tied into him. So to be yoked to Jesus is to be one. But that 1 + 1 is not going to equal 2. It's going to equal so much more. And we're going to walk through some of that more, some of that more, some of that more. One plus one, when your one is Jesus, equals much more. If your one is his friend, y'all still two. If your one is your baby, y'all still two. But when your one is Jesus, it is so much more, because you get everything that Jesus, oh, some of you, everything. So that's what we did last week. We said, declares is one plus one. The problem when one plus one equals two, that's sin, because we can't do it all. The invitation promise what? One plus one equals more. So today, as we continue on, point number four today is what? The yoke is easy. The yoke is easy. The yoke is easy. The yoke is easy when one plus one equals more. And it's in the scripture, y'all. It's in the scripture. Go ahead. The verse, if you look at verse 30, he says what? For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Oh, God. Oh, God. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. How can he say that? How can he say that? How can he say that? Well, it's been what's been prophesied from the beginning of time, that when the Savior came, he would come to save us from our sins. Jesus was here to accomplish that mission. And as Jesus went through life and through society, he was showing them he was different. He was doing some things they could not do. It wasn't difficult for him to do it. It was difficult as for us to perceive it. When Jesus would heal the dead, heal the sick, and raise the dead, that wasn't hard for Jesus. He just spoke. For us, it was impossible. We had never seen it. We couldn't comprehend it, and we didn't want to embrace it. But he said, wait a minute. Take my yoke upon you. And I said, what? For my yoke is easy. So Jesus said, stop it. Quit going through this thing, suffering and stumbling and falling. Just yoke to me. When you get yoked to Jesus, it's one of the hardest things you will ever do. So I'm not going to tell you it's easy for you to do, but I'm going to tell you, once you do it, it's easy. See, when you get yoked to Jesus, you give up of yourself. So if you give up of yourself and just follow where he goes, it's easy. Because that's the way Jesus said, where he leads me, I will follow. I'll do what? I'll go with him all the way. We add a few adjectives in there. Oh, God, where you lead me, if it's where I want to go, I will follow as long as I know the way. I'll go with you only a part of the way. Oh, Jesus, I'll go around the block, but I ain't going 2 miles. This ain't camel time. Oh, y'all remember, I'll walk a mile for a camel. Oh, come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. I'll walk a mile for that cigarette. No, yours wasn't a cigarette, but yours is something else. But say, I'll go with him all the way. So what he said, come unto me. He said, my yoke is easy. He said, let me carry it. Let me bear it. Let me direct you. Let me bless you. Let me cover you. We want blessings, but we don't want the blessing that God wants to give us. We want the blessing we want. I want more money. It's in the scripture. It's in the scripture. Isaiah 41 and 10. He told them the same thing then before Jesus came. He said, what? Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand. That's what he told the children of Israel when they were in bondage and in captivity. He said, look, I know you don't like your current circumstance. I know you don't like somebody telling you what to do, but I'm telling you, get ready. Get ready, because fear not, because I am still with you, even though you getting what you deserve. Oh, somebody missed that. They were only in bondage because of disobedience. We're only failing because of disobedience. There is no failure in God. So when we get yoked to God, he say, take my yoke upon ye and learn of me to be about your business, God. I hear what you're saying. Guess what? Then it'll be easy. We might go through those rivers. We might go through the forest. We might be captive. But it's all good, because what? We are yoked to God. That's what he said in Isaiah 41 and 10. He said it in Mark in verse 11, in chapter 11, verses 22 to 24. Said, and Jesus answered, said unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall what? Not doubt in his heart. Not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have, but have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall receive them. Now, I want to make sure we keep this in context. It's not just about the precious things that you want selfishly. Because that's what we hear. It's about wanting the things that Christ wants. Okay, can I make that plain for a minute? Christ wants saved lives more than he wants you to have a large bank account. He getting off my street. I need to tune him out. Yeah, tune me out. But hear God. God wants you to want the things that he wants. I don't know, because Christ set that example. He said, I come not to do my will, but what? The will of my Father. So my Father sent me down here to save this world. My Father sent me down here to fulfill the promise he gave to his children. My Father sent me down here to give everybody the opportunity to come home and be with their creator. My Father sent me down here to come and say, hey, don't worry, but just have faith, because the end is almost here. But when the end gets here, guess where you're going to be? He told them that in John 14. He said, but in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not tell you. But he said, I go to prepare a place for you, not just for me to go back home to my daddy, but I'm preparing a place for you, that where I am, ye may. Oh, why can you be with me? Because you're going to be yoked to me. Why are you going to be with me? Because you are tied to me. Why are you? Because you're following me. Why are you? Because all the blessings that I have point to heaven. They don't point to manifest just for material things down here. That's just the process to get us there. That process you're going through is about saving more folks. That process is about building up the kingdom. That process is about reach one and grab one and snatch one out of fire. That process about there's so many mansions that I need to fill. You need to help save somebody so they can go home and be where you are. Watch how this materializes. Too often when we get something, we want to show people what we got. People get a big house. Oh, come over to my house. Look how finely it's appointed. How wonderful it is. And we make transitions. When we first get a little bit better, we're excited. Then we reach a level of comfort and go, I can't tell nobody because they're going to try and get what I got. Somebody missed that. So my house becomes my joy and nobody comes in it. And if nobody comes in your house, then that's a message somewhere, unless God has specifically instructed you. Now, I'm not going to deny what the Holy Spirit would do. Sometimes he tells us, keep folks out of our house. But sometimes he's telling us that this place where we have and where we reside is my peace. House is not the peace. Jesus is the peace. Somebody needs to walk up in your house and feel the anointing of your peace so that they can understand I can have a house like this. I'm not talking about the four rooms and the 1,000 square feet or 2,000 or 5,000. I'm talking about the peace that exists in that place. Because see, when they realize the peace that's in your house, they never want to leave. Ask me how I know, because that's what God did for me. I can't tell you about everybody else's house. I've been witness to been in places that when I walked in, there was something about that place that just made me want to sit and want more. I didn't want to leave because I felt the love of Christ and I felt his peace and I felt his joy and his power. And I said, one day, Lord, that's what I want. And then one day when he gave it to me, I said, Lord, that's all I want. I ain't looking for bigger walls and more rooms and more furniture. I just want people to feel the peace of God. And can I tell you, that's what he's done. You walk into the place, people don't even want to leave. They say, oh, I want to sit in that chair. Can I have that chair? That's a 30-year-old chair that's breaking and broken apart, and you want the chair. Yes, because when I sit in this chair, I never felt comfortable in all my life. And I had a man say, I want to take it to Pennsylvania with me because I've never felt anything like this chair. And I'm like, the chair is broke underneath, leaving marks on the carpet, and you still want that chair? He said, yes, because I feel at peace. It wasn't the chair, it was Jesus. When they come into our presence, they need to feel that we're yoked to God. And if they feel that we're yoked to God, They feel this peace. They feel the joy. They understand hope. And they see the victory. And they're wondering, how do I get there? And we just say, Jesus says, come unto me. He said, this is easy, y'all. This is not difficult. He said, let me have it and watch how easy it is. And Matthew says, so therefore I said to you, what things soever you desire. We look at the mountains and we don't believe that they'll change. Ask me how I know. How many of us are afraid to touch somebody with corona? How many of us are afraid to be around somebody with corona? All right, somebody say amen, y'all, because I already know the truth, okay? Because all of us have been there. But what when God said, go pray for somebody and lay hands on them? And the prayer of the faith, right, availeth much. The prayer that God has given us of healing will remove corona. Oh, somebody ought to hear me now. Somebody ought to hear me now. That prayer over those. So we don't need to isolate. We need to say, Lord, what do I do? And when the Lord sends us, then guess what? Corona will flee. I'm going to get there later in some of the verses, how God has given us the power. We look at the 1 + 1 = 2. So when we look at the world, it seems insurmountable. Oh, let me tell you how this U-turn works. A year and a half ago, right, when it started, the rates were high, right? Corona was 13%, 14%. And everything, oh, we gotta shut everything down. Gotta shut everything down. And we did. Then in October, November, I'm just talking about Illinois, it dropped to what? 4%. We're doing good. We're doing great. Keep going, y'all. Get vaccinated. People, I ain't got to worry about it, right? Yet in less than 30 days. Less than 30 days. These are the facts. We're now at 18%. Higher than we've ever been. You know what that causes? Panic. Because people say, it's higher than it's ever been. Either it's panic or it's doubt or we accuse them of lying. None of that's the case. None of that's the case. It is what it is. But who do we serve? So when I look at corona, or I look at cancer, I look at anything, I look at God. Because except me look at God, there's no hope. You know there's no cure for cancer, right? You know what they call cancer when somebody's in remission? That's just the way it is. There is no cure. Radiation and all that thing, well, it stopped it. It ain't cured. In the back of their mind, it could come back. Or if they catch it in a spot, they cut it out. Well, we've got it all. But there still is no cure for cancer. Y'all know that, right? So why are we trying to have a cure for corona when there's never been a cure for anything else? There's been things to hold it, to stop it. Except Jesus, there is no cure. But with Jesus, how many of you know somebody, the cancer's gone? Not, oh, we're watching it, it's gone. Oh, somebody said, well, but it came back. No, it's a different kind of cancer. I know somebody, she had 3 different kinds of cancer. And each time they were saying, this thing, but 3 different kinds of cancer. And God took care of them all. Somebody didn't hear me. But it wasn't the doctors or the medicine or the chemo. It was Jesus. So that's why he said, my yoke is easy. When we connect to Christ, who is what? The healer. He's the provider. Somebody said, he said, Jehovah Jireh, he's my provider. Somebody said, Jehovah Rapha, he's my healer. I know. When I got to church this morning, my wife was worried because my ankle was flaring up and I had put some shoes on and they didn't fit. But God said, take your boots. And I was thinking one thing, but he saved me because when I got here, I needed boots to walk across the ice. But one thing I forgot about was that my ankle was really hurt. And I sat here and I said, well, God, it's in your hand. Now my ankle don't hurt. Y'all, and if you don't know nothing about no gout, when it flares up, and it takes a while for me. But in the name of Jesus, I said, God, you got to do somebody, he's an instantaneous healer. That's God, his yoke is easy. When I think about it, well, I didn't take the pills in enough time, I forgot the one last night, and all these kind of things go through me. But oh, when I call on the name of Jesus. It'll put you flat on your back if you're not careful. It'll put you in a seat and it hurt when you move it. It'll hurt you when the wind blows. But when you can walk around and you can move, you know that it ain't no hurting in it. Because that's God. Nobody but Jesus. His yoke is easy. When 1 + 1 = more. The 1 + 1 is I'm yoked to Jesus. And because I'm yoked to Jesus, I get all that Jesus got. I get his peace. I get his joy. I get his hope. I get his strength. I get his healing. I get his provision. I get everything that God, I get to see what God sees. The yoke is easy when 1 + 1 = more. Oh, and the last thing today. The yoke is easy, not just because 1 + 1 = more, but because of the word. It's because of the word that has been spoken, the word that has been given. And I want you to hear some things today and understand who our God is. And so what does that mean? Well, the first thing today is I want you to look at John 1:1. That should be 1:1. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word what? Was God. John 1:1. You know that first verse. In the beginning was the word. What? God was there and the word was there and the word was what? With God. And we know Jesus is the word and the word was God. It talks about the Trinity. Some people say that that's where it started. No, it didn't start there. The beginning is when God created, he was all things. I'm not going to argue whether you believe it or not, but I found it in the scripture. You don't have to believe me. Somebody go get Deuteronomy 6:4. Go look at Deuteronomy 6:4. As the children of Israel had walked through the wilderness, right? This on the screen, but you need to read it in your Bibles. There was something that Moses reminded the people. He said, look, when you go here, y'all got to remember these things. Say, God brought us a mighty long way. We're about to go into the land. And in order for us to go in the land, let us not forget what happens. It says what? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. That word there for God is Eshad in the Hebrew. Eshad means it's a single entity, but made up of what? More than one part. Oh, somebody should get that right there. It's a single entity, but it represents more parts. It represents all of who God is. God has many parts. God has many phases. God has many aspects, but they all, it represents God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I know I'm in the book because it said what? The Spirit shall be with you. And we weren't talking about spirits in the Old Testament. Oh, well, you don't get the Spirit until the day of Pentecost. No, that's when they were anointed with the Holy Ghost, but the Spirit of God has been around from the beginning. Somebody, that's the whole word. That's the truth. Not what I think, not what I prophesy, but that's the truth in the word. Isaiah said it. Isaiah 48:16. I'm just going to give you one example, right? It said, come ye near unto me. Hear ye this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning, from the time that it was. There am I, and now the Lord God, and what? His Spirit hath sent me. So the Holy Spirit didn't show up until the day of Pentecost. What spirit are they talking about? That's God's Spirit. I'm going to tell you the truth. So it's in the word that the Spirit of God, this unity, the Esha, has always been a part of who God is. So don't get stuck. Maybe that's where he wants you to worship, and that's a wonderful thing. Maybe that's the ministry he tells you to do. Don't knock it. It's true. It's real. It's profitable to all, but it's still God. Somebody say amen. It's still God. So God from the beginning was who he needed to be to show us who we are. We are the children that he loved. From there on, for there am I, and know the Lord God and his Spirit have sent me. So what? All power, all authority was given to Jesus, right? That's in Matthew 20. Right now, you know, Matthew 28:18, right? What does it say in Matthew 28:18? Just before he gave them the Great Commission, what did he tell them to do? He said, look, I declare, this is the word. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. It was given to me. My Father God, who I'm walking around down here, who I've been serving down here, who I've been healing in, who I've been taking sick, I've been casting out demons, and I've been casting out illnesses, and I've cleansed the lepers, and I've changed the way, and I've suffered, and I've died, and I've bled, and I rose. They said, all that power was given to me, and now I'm about to give you something to do. And then you know what it says in Matthew 19:20. Go ye therefore, teach reach all nations, baptizing them, what? Not just to me, but what? In the name of the Father, because he was about his Father's business, and none of the Son, and of the Holy. He said, I'm telling you to do this in all three. Why? Because the three are one. He said, teaching them to do what? Observe all things. And when he says observe all things, that ties back into what we're talking about today. Take my yoke upon you. Be connected to God. Trust God. Love God. Deny yourself and follow. All of those things come together. And then it says what? He said he gave his disciples. He gave his disciples. He gave his disciples power to go do these things. Now notice, Jesus had, and before verse 20, before chapter 28, he had told his disciples to go out and send them two by two. And they couldn't do some things. He told them why? Because of your lack of fasting and prayer. Your lack of surrendering it to me and trying to do it on your own. Whenever something doesn't happen, I have to ask myself, Lord, did I do what you told me to do? Or was I doing what I was running to do? Lord, did I do it at the right timing? Or did I get ahead of myself? Or was I behind myself? Did fear stop me from doing? That's the common thing that we ought to understand. But when God gives us to it, he gives us all of the above. We ought to do what he says. And watch that we get the power. You were in Sunday school, you would have saw that, right? With Sarah and with Abraham and with Hagar and Ishmael. How they got ahead of themselves and behind themselves and all of the rest. Until God said, this is it. And when God said, this is it, there was provision for everybody. Jesus gave his disciples the authority. Well, that's not what it is. Here's what happens. The yoke is easy because of the word. One plus one equals more. When we become yoked to Jesus, look at what happens. In James 4 and 7 through 10, and it's just verse 7 up there, says, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, resist the devil, resist the devil. And what will happen with the devil? Didn't say he beat you down, said he will flee. Somebody don't get that. Somebody still think, well, he gonna come back. I don't care if he come back. The same thing's gonna happen. When he come back, he gonna get a butt whipping. Why? Because I'm gonna submit myself therefore to God, and guess what? When I resist him, he's got to flee. Come on back. You can take as many butt whippings and bruises as you want to take. Come on back. Because guess what? I'm going to do what the word. I'm going to step on your head. I'm the head and not the tail. You got to get up out of here. Come on back. That's all right. You can come back every day. You can come back every hour. I'm still not going to change. I'm going to resist the devil, submit myself to God, and watch you flee. I'm going to say, see you next time. Come on, see you next time. That's the power that God has given us. It's in the word. Only because I'm yoked to Jesus. Now, when we're not yoked to Jesus, knowing one plus one equals more, we got one plus one equals two, but it didn't happen a couple of times. Maybe I just ain't got it. Wrong. You know Jesus, you got it. You ain't got to speak like everybody. You ain't got to pray like everybody. You ain't got to recall scripture like everybody. You do what God has given you, and that's enough. Because when you give it to Jesus, he puts in the rest. Let me give you a worldly illustration I know you would love. I wish that I trusted Jesus like I do now when I was in college. Because this is what I would have heard. There was a 25-question test. I would have been studied. I would have said, Lord, I'm marking the first answer. You mark the rest. Boom, 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 boom. And they would have been right. Or somebody say, well, you got to study. Absolutely. But let me tell you a prayer First Lady prays over the kids. He said, you give God your best in study, and I pray that he multiplies your efforts so that your efforts might be 60, 70, 80, 90%. He's going to multiply it to be the best. Why? Because you surrendered it to him. And you know what happened? That did. You know how I know? They said my daughter would be deaf and dumb. They said she wouldn't keep up. They said she wouldn't learn. She would barely be able to get through because of her hearing deficiency. But yet with a 30%+ hearing deficiency, she still was in the top 5% of all college students and high school students across the country. She graduated with exemplary honors. She did things that nobody else did with a 30% hearing loss that they said makes people deaf enough. Why? Because somebody prayed, God, expand and multiply the effort. It ain't that her brain was any wired any differently. It was the effort. And watch what God, for a purpose. She won't be able to sing or play an instrument. She does them all. That was God. That wasn't anything we did. That was God. But the prayer was, Lord, multiply. And she's been giving blessings to children ever since. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. She does it all the time. And guess what? I ain't a child. And she does it over me. Because that's God's provision. First thing says, so it says, submit. Then in 1 John 3, 1 through 3 says, behold what manner of love the Father have bestowed upon us, that we should be called what? The sons of God. And daughters are. It's generic. Kevin covers us both. So don't let that enemy get in your head. Well, he was talking about the men. He's talking about all of us. Okay. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now we are what? The sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know what? That when he shall appear, we will be like him, for we shall see him as he. When Jesus comes back and appear, guess what? We're going to be right there. They ain't going to see overweight, underweight. They ain't going to see light, dark. We're going to appear like Jesus. And when God the Father see that we look like his son, come on. Come on, come unto me. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Y'all got to get that. We're going to appear like Jesus, which is what? We're going to praise Jesus, and we're going to praise the Father like Jesus praised the Father. Did you ever read anywhere in the Word where Jesus did not give credit and praise his Father? Some young folks need to know that today. Some old folks need to know that. I don't care what daddy did or did not do. I don't care what mama did or did not do. God used them to be your mama. God used them to be your father. They might have failed down here on earth, but God used them to bring you to be. That deserves respect. You got to honor them, but they honor your father. That's the word of God. That'll take stress out of your life. Instead of you running around all day, all year, worried about what my father didn't do and what my mama didn't do and all these kind of things, you could live in the blessings. We had a story in Sunday school we didn't talk about, a young lady named Carol. Her father, she knew who her father was, but he was never in her life. We don't know the details. And he only did one thing. Birthdays, he sent a check. He wouldn't show up. He just kept sending a check, kept sending a check. And she was depressed about it. She didn't like it. Well, he always sent a check. I know I'm graduating from college now, but he sent a check. So she's concerned because he wasn't going to show up. And I'm sitting there saying, how many kids would have loved to have been like you? They got a check. They got nothing and you getting a check. But that wasn't good enough. We need to look at the provisional part of God. And then maybe he was telling her to do something. Had she done it, might have been a little different. That's where we are. We look at circumstances in life. Well, that's just the way they are. They're going to always be a thief. They're going to always be a coward. They're going to always be a killer. They're going to always be bad. They're going to always cuss and all that stuff. No. Who can they become with Christ? That's what the word tells us. So if we resist them. And then the last thing he says in 1 John 4 says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because what? Greater is he that is in you than what? He that is in the world. Greater is what? He that is in you than he that is in the world. Oh, let me say it. When you become yoked to Christ, when you let him put the leather strap or the wood strap or his spirit around you and you become connected and yoked, there's a difference in knowing and surrendering to him. I mean, knowing him and loving him and accepting him as your savior than being yoked to him. Because of free will, we can still step back. I love you, Lord. You heard my cry. Oh, how we love you, Lord. Oh, how we magnify you. Oh, how we worship you. But we won't surrender to be yoked. Oh, Lord, I know you are my savior, but we won't surrender to be yoked. Oh, Lord, from a distance. I'm close, but from a distance, I want to keep a little bit of what I have. And this is a sermon for another day. When you get into God's kingdom, your kingdom is gone. Oh, that's another message. We want both. It's his or. So we need to be yoked. And when we do that, one plus one, what? Equals more. Let me make it plain. Somebody else said, you know, Well, there's one is me and God. That equals two. One is one, me and Jesus. That's two. Okay, it's me and the Holy Spirit. That's two. But when the three are one, that's one plus the three, the Trinity, that's more than two. But it's not just more than two, it's everything that he owns. So all of the needs that we have, the money is there. The food is there. The peace is there. The joy is there. The praise is there. Everything that God owns is there. Faith is there. Power is there. It's been there since the beginning. I got a task for somebody. Who's willing to take a trip with me? That's all expenses paid. All expenses paid. And if I invited you to go down to Kentucky with me, into this little city in the backwoods hills in Kentucky, I said, God has told us to go down there and walk in faith. Somebody's going, okay, Pastor, what's the rest of the story? It ain't the rest of the story yet. Did God tell you to go? Yes or no? Okay. Somebody said they're going. Good, good. And the purpose we're going to visit a church. And when we walk in the church, they practice the gift of picking up poisonous snakes. Did I lose somebody? It's in the Bible. It's in the Word. And they practice this on a regular basis. So the first question is, I don't think I want to do that. The first question is, Lord, yes or no? Did you tell me to do it? And if he says yes, then I go. If he says no, we don't go. That's being yoked to Christ. Everybody ain't supposed to be down there doing that. But where they live, they are ministering to the people around that know the depths of the danger. They avoid these snakes with a passion. And here they are with this place where Christ is saying, show them who I am. And they go and they pick them. People are converted in the power of God. Now, here's the reality. Some folks run up in there trying to do something that God didn't tell them, and they leave in here. Those who've been told are doing it. We have been told to do some things by God, and we are refusing for whatever reason. Fear, doubt, lack of surrender, all of the above. We're not going out and telling and sharing to somebody. I ain't saying we're supposed to be radicals, knocking on everybody's door everywhere, but we got to tell somebody. If we don't, we're not accomplishing what God wants us to do. Somebody told us. Somebody stayed on us. My grandfather, every week, without fail, come on, I'll be about to pick you up. Doo-doo. There's the horn. Doo-doo. One run out, the other one did. I would go, my brother wouldn't go. Mom and daddy said, it's your choice. To one day, daddy said, all of us need to go. I was a senior in college. He said, all of us need to get up tomorrow morning and go to church. No longer can we keep doing what we have been doing. And he hadn't been to church in years. But that next Sunday morning, he got up and he never failed after that. Said God told us to return to where we know we're supposed to be. So one plus one equals what? More. So what's your more? What's your more today? What's your more today?